Hey there. Thanks for tuning in to the Embodied Astrology Podcast. I'm Renee Sills, consulting astrologer, somatic practitioner, and embodiment educator. Your Pisces season horoscope is an excerpt from your 2024 year ahead reading. These readings are deep dives into the major themes and influences of the year for your sun, moon, and rising signs. Purchase yours today from the link in our show notes. Registration is now open for Embodied Astrology's 2024 and 2025 programming. Our curriculum starts with the astrological new year and Aries season equinox. Join us for a life-changing journey of experiential astrology where you'll deepen your understanding of chart reading, symbolism, intuition, and divination, craft creative containers and support your artistic practice through working with your own chart and current transits, learn how to apply astrology for conflict transformation and repair, and take part in exciting, inspiring conversations with astrologers, artists, activists, and others working in the intersections of mysticism and social change, and so much more. Follow the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com to learn more. Now, on to your horoscope. All right, we are moving right along. Pisces season. In Pisces season, there is increasing emphasis as the sun moves into Pisces on the outer planets that have been in Pisces for quite some time. Neptune has been in Pisces since 2011, and 2024 and 2025, Neptune is making its way out. In 2024, it will make it almost all the way out of the sign, retrograde back in, and then in 2025, we are starting to get a departure. Neptune is the modern ruler of Pisces, and so the planet and the sign share a lot of qualities. They both bring forward qualities of unreality and the experiences that we get to have throughout our lives that we, are living in a dream, that reality is changing, that reality is shifting. Sometimes this is transcendent and beautiful and sublime, and we might feel ourselves dissolving into oneness, and reality might, so-called reality might fade, and we might feel into something, some kind of substance that feels like a deeper truth. And then there are also experiences where we might feel like we are in some kind of nightmarish hallucination and we don't know what the fuck's going on. And whoa, how did I get here? Who the hell are these people? We are living in an age where fake news is a thing. There is a lot of different information that people are getting. People are living in very different realities, even when they're sharing the same space. And in your chart, Pisces holds the space of the greater social world. And the solar 11th house is a place where you encounter friends and communities and networks. This is a space where you engage with your ideas about the future and how the world might be. Pisces is an incredibly sensitive, permeable, and porous sign. This is part of what makes Taurus really sensitive to need in the world, is Pisces in the solar 11th house. Taurus, with Aquarius and Pisces up at the top of the chart, is an energy that often comes into leadership because Taurian beings have a solid sense of what is needed. And so these themes that I talked about in the overview about preparation and anticipation of what the need will be are really important for you, and they make you an incredibly valuable asset in a lot of community and social spaces because you have some kind of orientation around getting people what they need, because you know that if other people have what they need, you're more likely to have what you need. And this is basic, grounded, earthly sensibility. Right? If everybody has enough food, then I'm gonna have enough food, right? If people around me are hungry, they're gonna take my food. That's basic Taurus instinct, right? How do we make sure that everybody has enough food so that I can enjoy my snack? Basic Taurus wisdom. So Pisces season attunes you and accentuates the sensations of your solar 11th house. Now, Neptune has been here since 2011, but Saturn has also been in this place now for about a year. Saturn entered Pisces early in 2023. And in 2025, Saturn and Neptune will both leave Pisces and they will come together in a conjunction in the sign Aries. And that is a significant moment astrologically. In your overview, I talked about some of my predictions for what is going to happen in 2025. And the meeting of Saturn and Neptune is part of where I was coming to my prediction from. But in 2024, we have the applying conjunction of these two in the sign Pisces. And so the reading that I'm going to give for this in your chart has to do with this feeling that I mentioned in the overview and that I talked about in Capricorn season, this feeling that you need to step into the new thing. You need to cut ties to some extent with where you have been coming from on certain levels. And for some of you, this means your social groups are changing, or the ways that you feel yourself involved in community no longer, maybe they never even did, but they no longer feel adequately supportive for you. And there's a real sense of needing to discern and I'm going to say like reduce your social engagements on some level. And Pisces season brings that to the surface of your consciousness. So discerning and reducing your social engagements means that you don't want to be pulled in a million directions. And some of the directions that you're being pulled in, and this could be from friends, it could be through work obligations, it could be the ways that you might feel your attention being pulled by outer world events and feeling like you got to do that thing or you want to do this thing or now you have to activate for that thing. Not all directions need you to follow them. Not all of your social acquaintances need to be your best friends. And over the course of Pisces season, my feeling is that you are in a place of recognizing that you need to whittle down and discern. And so there's a feeling here of concentrating on what kind of social experiences do you want to be having? What types of people do you want to be communing with? In terms of your friendships, who really feels like they're supporting you right now, or that there's reciprocity in those friendships? And are there people that, you know, it's like you see them regularly, but after every single time you see them, you ask yourself why? Like, it didn't give me energy. It just, you know, wasted 2 hours like talking about something that I don't want to talk about, that I'm not interested in. And so it's really important for you to take notice right now of what feeds you and what serves you and what does not. And boundaries are important and they are becoming more and more clear as we come into Pisces season. Pisces season begins at the end of February, so February 18th. We move into Pisces season, and between the 18th and the 27th, both Venus and Mars, they're still in Aquarius, are moving through your solar 10th house and squaring Jupiter in your first house, Jupiter in Taurus. This feeling for me is an emphasis on the fact that because you're a Taurus, because I have a Taurus moon. I think I said that already. Because you're a Taurus, it's really hard to get you to do what you don't want to do for a long amount of time. Taurus is stubborn. And you might hear that and think, wow, like I can stay doing a thing for a really, really, really long time. And sometimes I hate it. And I believe you, because Taurus can stick the course. But if you are committed to something, it's because on some level, there's something there for you that you want. If you really examine it, it might not be your deepest need. It might not be the thing that you're like, yeah, actually, I do want that. It could just be habit. But that brings us back to one of Taurus' key desires, which is preparation, stability, and familiarity. Taurus loves to know what's coming next. Because if you know what's coming next, you can have the right outfit on and the right snacks. And this is super important. This period of time is making it very clear to you what you enjoy and what you don't enjoy. There may be very clear impressions that you get around this time, around what you are being asked to do versus what you really want to do or what your gifts are. It is important that you work in the nuance of Taurus sensibility and remember that for the most part, Taurus sensibility does not respond favorably to things that are new, until it gets to try them. So if you ask a Taurus, do you want to eat at that one restaurant that you really like, or do you want to try this new place? I heard it's really good. You're going to meet some anxiety. You're going to meet some anxiety there because the Taurus that you're asking will have to do this intense inner process where they basically consider that they might waste a meal. They might waste money, they might waste time and be unsatisfied with something that is new and something that is untested, but they could do the thing that they already know that they like and that they're good at and that is satisfying and that would just be fine. Now, I'm sorry I'm making all these like food references. You might not be a Taurus who's so obsessed with food. Not all Tauruses, hashtag not all Tauruses are obsessed with food, but many of you are. So hence my constant return to food references. This is a place of anxiety. As we move into Pisces season, there are feelings of what do you really want? And the trick here is you want something that's new. You want something that's different. And so in order for you to get your needs met right now, you have to some extent, work counterintuitively. You have to take a risk to go to the new restaurant. And when I was talking about in the overview, the experience that this year is asking you to become adept at of learning in public or maybe failing in public or making mistakes in public, this is one of those times when it is essential for you to move in the direction of new growth and challenge yourself to try to find places for your own expansion and learning and curiosity and experience of something new. And in this experience, you will be tested. And the trick for you is to not turn away when the tests show you where there might be shortcomings. So if you're putting yourself out in some kind of way and you don't get an immediate yes or it doesn't feel safe right away, stay the course. Try it again. Learn from the experience. See if you can tweak it a little bit and do it differently next time. There are a lot of growth opportunities right now. There are a lot of opportunities for you to be and to give your gifts. Some of you are going to feel totally excited. You're not anxious at all. You're feeling fine. But there are definitely some Tauruses out there that are feeling a kind of way about trying the new thing. And I just want to tell you, you've got this. You are prepared. You can do it. It is essential for you right now to leave the familiarity of what is known so that you can try the new thing. Does the work of embodied astrology speak to you? Did you know that you can become a member? The EA monthly membership provides unlimited access to my weekly somatic space classes, where we work through gentle healing movement and meditation practices, aligning our minds, bodies, hearts, and spirits with the highest potentials of current astral energy. Memberships also include tea time gatherings once a month, where we debrief current astro together, share our lived experiences, and support one another through the seasons. Our basic membership also includes access to our private virtual community, peer-led study groups and affinity spaces, and a video and audio library with guided meditations and gentle movement practices. Learn more at embodiedastrology.com/join. I'm also thrilled to announce that our 2024 and 2025 workshop and event programming at Embodied Astrology is now open for registration. Our new program begins with the vernal equinox and astrological new year. This year, we're interested in mobilizing our platform and community towards more active engagement with the work of world making. We're asking questions about revolution and transformation. We're using astrology to imagine, locate, and remember forms of power rooted in care and connection. We're holding space for what is and what can be, with grief-tending circles, queer time expansion experiments, planetary devotional practices, conflict mapping with constellation work, and embodied astral support. We hope you'll join us for some or all of our offerings. Now, during this time, we have a full moon in Virgo on February 24th. Virgo is your fellow earth sign. This is a very supportive feeling full moon. This is a full moon that inspires creativity and creative expression and playfulness. And playfulness is the key to success. And so how are you going to feel fine about failing in public? If you're a clown, you'll feel fine about it, right? Clowns are excellent at failing in public. In fact, you might think that that is actually what they are trying to do. So you might take a clue from some clowns out there and really consider, like, how do you just have a good time with what you're trying? Let it be messy, let it be unfinished or in process, and give yourself to the experience of trying something new. Now, there are new social experiences that are coming with these outreaches that you're making. And in these social experiences, you are learning rapidly what feels supportive and what does not. And as you are encountering new spaces, it is giving you reflective material in which to consider previous experiences and pre-existing relationships. As we get towards the end of February, there is an increasing influence that is bringing a lot of attention and awareness towards what kind of community and interaction and support you need to do the things that you are trying to do. If you're trying to do new things, it's probably helpful if you're with people who are patient and playful with you. Right? That makes doing new things not so scary at all. If you're trying to do new things and you have old friends being like, why would you do that? This is what you do. That might not feel so good. It might feel like there's not a lot of space or room for you to grow and breathe in those relationships. You might need to take some space. You might need to advocate for them seeing you differently. So this is a period of time in which you are assessing and discerning what you need in the environments that you are moving through in order to give your gifts. Because again, a major theme for you in 2024 is generosity and giving what you have to give. Now, as we get into March, we have ongoing increasing emphasis on what I was just talking about. And March 3rd through March 9th, leading up to the Pisces new moon, is a really active time in your chart. And this feels like For some of you, it's a high stress point because it is really asking you to do something that is new, to take risks, to take challenges, to cut ties with the past and experience yourself putting things out there or putting yourself out there in new and different ways. This is a period of time in which some of you might not know where the support is coming from that you need, in which case I would say look around and do some research and feel into the kinds of qualities and experiences that you really want to be having, and again, that you want to be giving or providing for others, and find like-minded folks. You are really well supported at this time when you are resonating with people. Now, a lot of you are going to find yourself in social spaces, in community spaces, in friendships that are totally serving this new growth for you. And either way, whether you have found them or whether you are looking for them, this is a period of time that you are calling in a new awareness and new layer of experience around belonging in a larger social sense and a larger social space. The new moon in Pisces on March 10th is definitely a new moon to meditate on calling in your spiritual family and friendship networks and challenging yourself to leave what is familiar and leave what is known so that you can open yourself to what is new. March 8th through 17th, Mercury and the Sun will both be moving towards their conjunctions with the outer planet Neptune. As I mentioned in the beginning of talking about Pisces, Neptune has been in Pisces since 2011. And just like Pluto is on its way out of Capricorn in 2024, Neptune is on its way out of Pisces. And so as the Sun and Mercury make contact there, there are feelings of chapters coming to a close and old ideas ending. Now, this place in your chart definitely resonates with social groups, with friendships, with networks, etc. It's also a place in your chart that resonates with the future and with the ways that you imagine the world or your life might be. This is a place where we cast out our homes, our hopes, our dreams, and our wishes for the future. Now, Neptune as an influence dissolves reality as we know it. And so the Sun and Mercury contacting this point can produce feelings of dystopia and utopia. And those sensations can change, honestly, within the span of a single second sometimes. These kinds of astrological influences can often increase rapid cycling for people between sometimes quite extreme states. So if you are feeling full of hope and optimism and dreaming about the future one day and totally full of despair and needing to grieve the next day, stay with your body. Don't abandon yourself. Keep breathing. Remember that your breath is relational substance, and rock with it. Ride with it. Use your somatic tools and toys to help calm, soothe, and stabilize yourself. Now, I want to offer a somatic suggestion for Pisces season and certainly for any other time that feels like it would be helpful, which is bringing conscious touch to your body. Now, if you have ever attended one of my somatic space classes, I currently teach on Mondays on Zoom from 8 to 9:30 a.m. every Monday Pacific time. And we work with the astrology of the week ahead through somatic practice, through body-centered practice, gentle movements and meditation. And a practice that I do very frequently in this space is self-touch. And I often facilitate self-touch first through imagining that we're holding baby animals. Now, I don't know about you, but I would imagine that there's probably some baby animals out there that you think are pretty freaking cute, because
baby animals are so cute, right? Just so freaking cute. Now, I don't know. Maybe you don't. I don't know. So you can think about what is precious to you. What elicits your adoration, and imagine holding it. So when I think about, for example, holding a baby kitten, my heart feels warm. I feel completely overcome with, oh my God, so cute kind of vibes. And if I imagine holding this tiny baby animal, the quality in my hands, the quality of touch would naturally be sensitive. It would be caring and loving and curious. I want to bring that kind of touch to my own body. And when we bring touch to our own body in this way, and when we really allow ourselves to feel that touch, what it does for us is it regulates our autonomic nervous system, and it increases the sensations and the neurophysical pathways of stable attachment. So what baby animal just inspires heart-opening vibes for you? If it's not a baby animal, maybe it is some kind of plant. Maybe it is a person. Maybe it's even a place. Maybe it's the whole universe. Maybe you could imagine holding the whole earth in your hands and just, wow, so much love, so much appreciation, so much care. What would you be holding in your hands? Build that energy through imagination first. Call in the imaginations, and then touch your own body and extend into your body the same kind of appreciation and adoration and warmth and affection and tenderness that you would imagine holding this baby animal with. Now, when you do this with your organs, it is incredibly healing. And so you might touch your belly or your heart, the space below your belly button and above your pubic bone where your reproductive organs and organs of elimination and your bladder are. You might touch your lungs, like the outside of your ribs or your back. You can even hold your head and your brain. And touch your body and extend this kind of adoration, this kind of warmth into your body. Now, why would you do this at a time when your social circumstances are requiring discernment, and when you are being asked to put yourself forward in new and different ways and give your gifts? Why you would do this is because this kind of self-love and self-care and self-touch build resonances of loving presence in our own beings. And that loving presence is really discerning. And many of us don't have great discernment because we have been taught to mistrust our own intuition. And we are often taught to mistrust our own intuition by learning to dislike ourselves, or maybe even hate ourselves, or shame ourselves in some kind of way. This can produce feelings of, or come along with feelings of insecurity and competition. And when I go back to some of the Taurus themes of not, you know, worrying about not being prepared, competition and comparison with others can definitely come in here. And when it comes to you putting yourself out into the world, the feeling that, you know, do you have what it takes, can really elicit some deep anxiety and insecurity sometimes for some people of all signs, but definitely Taurus identified folks. And so practicing loving yourself, touching yourself, extending this warm, adoring, caring touch, not only is healing and regulating for your nervous system, not only will it help you bring loving, kind, conscious presence into your relationships, it will also help you discern when you or others are coming at yourself with less than ideal relationship energy. You want to be giving and getting loving presence. And so, Taurus, you want to practice giving that and receiving it from yourself.
If what you heard in this season's horoscope resonates, you'll definitely want to check out your year ahead. These annual readings are epic offerings and the results of over 2 months of research and preparation with this year's astrology. They're ready for download now, and they include an hour-long intuitive divination and channeled reading for your sign, along with an additional overview exploring key dates and timing for 2024's astrology, with suggestions for working with this year's main themes, opportunities, and challenges through embodied energetic awareness practices. Get yours today through the sliding scale purchase link in our show notes or visit the horoscope section at embodiedastrology.com. Thanks so much for tuning in with Embodied Astrology. This work wouldn't exist without a team. Big thanks to Alicia Mauji, Joe Stewart, Ash Good, Ariana Sears-Putowski, and Gabs404 for making it all happen with me, Renee Sills. As Pluto moves into Aquarius, one of the main things to remember is that teamwork makes our dreams work. In the spirit of community and collaboration, Embodied Astrology is in an active transition to becoming a collective multi-voice platform. This year, I've invited 4 facilitators with whom I've been working for the last several years to join me as core faculty in co-visioning and co-creating an exciting, innovative, and totally unique astrological studies program. Sherry Taylor, Junata Petrus, Ramon Parrish, Gabs404, and I are interested in how astrology can assist us in realizing embodied healing, radical imagination, and creative collective liberation. We're inviting you to join us in our explorations in small or big ways. Our full program will be an immersive and life-transforming experience that takes place over the course of 16 months. And most of our offerings also have opportunities to drop in for one or just a few sessions. For more information and to sign up, check the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com.